All right, so hello and welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. I hope you're having a great day. Thank you for joining us. I have Chris Sheridan online. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great today. Thanks.
And Chris is my intrepid co-host, and I appreciate you being here. I am your host, Jason Napolitano. We're here each week with esoteric, spiritual, psychological, magical, etc. Type subjects. And today we have one of the more abstract concepts that we're going to be dealing with, which is hard to put your finger on, but it's something we all understand when we talk about it, and that is intuition. So we'll be speaking about that in a moment. I wanted to say thank you to all of our listeners and all of our supporters out there. We appreciate you guys who support us financially. And if you do get something out of the show, please share with your friends and family if you think there's something that they might dig in terms of what we're doing here. Share on social media and so forth. We need your support to get us out there. We are trying to expand in 2020, the year of clear vision, as we talked about before. Try to get more of this positive stuff out there. You can support us at anchor.fm/cosmiceye or support us by buying our books. Chris's book is The Spirit in the Sky, and mine is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. All right, so we've been doing this show so long now, I can do that spiel in under 2 minutes now, which is good. I used to ramble through that whole thing in a much longer fashion before. You remember that in the early days of last year when we started this thing. So at any rate, we're talking about intuition today. Let's just jump right into it. We have no outline. We're going strictly from intuition today. So we're putting into practice the very intuition that we're going to talk about. So there you go. Let you wrap your mind around that. It's one of those things where you're looking into, I don't know why this, I'm reminded of this, but it goes kind of deep into things. It was on Mad Men. Did you ever watch that show, by the way?
Just bits and pieces. I didn't get on board.
So Sally, who is Don Draper, the mayor, was talking to this kid, Glenn, who's kind of her little boyfriend or whatever. And for some reason they were going off into abstract thinking, and they were talking about how could the Land O'Lakes woman. This is an old thing, mind you. It's butter, and I think it still has the same package design, but apparently the Land of Lakes. It's like a Native American woman or something, mm-hmm. and she's holding a Land of Lakes.
I know where this is going. Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, so I've seen it in real life. I didn't see it on TV, but I've seen it.
Yeah. So then you go deep down the rabbit hole. So the Land of Lakes woman is holding a Land of Lakes butter in her hand that is the same image that is the image that you're looking at. And so you think, well, how deep do the Land of Lakes butter images go? You know what I mean? So it's her, holding a package of her, holding a package of her. So there you go.
A picture in a picture,
infinitely deep. So that's where, hopefully we won't get caught in the Land O'Lakes butter package.
I remember seeing that as a kid going to a barbershop back when I used to, get my hair cut and things.
Well, so we're talking way
back. I think I was compelled at that point.
Exactly.
But there would be the mirrors were exactly opposite each other. And if you just kind of tilted your head to one side, you would see this infinity tunnel.
Mirror
hitting the other mirror, hitting the other mirror. And it just went on forever. And it was like, wow, where does it go? It was really cool.
So this has nothing to do with intuition, but Google the Land O'Lakes butter package and see what we're talking
about.
Well,
there's also, there's kind of a more X-rated version of it, or I guess R-rated. Was that involved in Mad Men too?
It was not, but what is that, by the way?
The way she's holding, or the position, I should say, whether she's holding the butter package, the butter package, is, in her chest area.
The chest region. I'm with you. Okay.
And then if you actually cut out, I don't know, it's, yeah, I probably shouldn't even say it. You cut out her knees on the back of it, and you tape it behind you, and you cut out the butter thing, and it looks just like she's flashing you.
Hold on.
It's like the man and the camel. It's hard to, we're talking about advertising, subliminal message. Yeah. You should do a topic on that.
It's hard not to see it once you've seen it once, you know, or once you like, oh my gosh, you know, or the Highlights magazine, you know, there's a tricycle in a tree, you know, once you see it, it's like, wow, you see it everywhere. But anyway.
You know what's funny about that? It's like the that whole idea of subliminal advertising and all that, you know, that was, and you know, if you're younger, you probably haven't heard of this because this is stuff that they talked about a lot in the 70s and 80s. And, it, and actually the sort of inception of it was in the late 40s and early 50s, which is actually before Chris and I's time as well. So, but
okay,
the point is, I'm not okay. First of all, you're closer to a boomer than I am.
You just had a recent birthday, so I can a little bit of grief. All right.
Okay.
No, you're not boomer level, but I'm not.
Yeah, but I do appreciate that.
I'm more or less on the cusp, but I'll defer.
I'll defer. Thank you. But here's an interesting thing, though. By the way, just speaking, I'm going to stop with my subliminal advertising ideas, because where is intuition leading us is completely away from intuition.
But so that's how you get there. It's actually subliminal advertisement is working on your subconscious.
Yeah.
Trying to hit you at a, yes, you're seeing and hearing, say, an advertisement, but you're sensing, or a part of you is sensing something else, or a different sensory aspect is being. So I think it actually
goes hand in hand. You're right. You know, because what they're trying to do is to create what, you know, they're trying to engineer what you think is an intuitional response to something in a way. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I just suddenly like for
I'm
like,
low on butter. Let's go to the store.
I'm low on butter. I need a Land O'Lakes butter right now. But I mean, the classic thing was is how this whole sort of subliminal advertising thing is they made this illegal as well. Is they tested out in a movie theater. They slipped in like I think one or two frames of a picture of a Coca-Cola, and they noticed that people at, you know, quickly after showing that would go to the lobby and purchase soda. And, you know, they'd see this in theater after theater. So they ended up making it, you know, illegal to do this, but,
being done. It's just a little more.
It is being done. I think it is still being done. And I think that now I don't even think there's probably not even
probably
really
nobody cares.
Probably no one cares anymore. I mean, everything that, you know, people used to, you know, sort of rail against and be fearful of is a part of common life now. I mean, it's, you know, people have no real even sense of kind of security or privacy anymore. I mean, the internet has almost nearly taken that away from us. You know, we've given it away for a coupon or a, you know, a 10% discount, you know, given like slowly but surely we've given away every piece of personal information we have, and it's out there somewhere, right? So, you know, these things are a little bit different now. Anyway, the point is they were trying to manufacture, you know, fake intuition in essence. Like all of a sudden I just feel like I want a soda and I don't know why. But it was created in you. So you see, there's the power of sort of manufactured intuition. So speaking of intuition, this is where one of the things, like, you know, we've got to talk a little bit about this and then we can go into it. But first of all, you know, what is intuition? What do we mean by that? So let's kind of define that. I'm going to pass it over to you and you kind of give me your ideas on what you think intuition is. And then I'll go into mine and we'll meet somewhere in the middle, right?
All right. Well, generally, intuition is an internal sense of knowing, or like an inner wisdom, or you're, you know, about to meet somebody and you get a kind of a weird feeling or a signal that says, oh, I better be careful with this, or be wary of this business dealing or something, that you're getting some sixth sense that is giving you information on what to do next and how to go about it. And we like to think of, oh, if it's my intuition, that means it's correct and it's benevolent and it's for the right reasons. And I would say that's probably true. I think what happens, though, sometimes we either aren't in tune with this intuitive faculty, that we either ignore it or just miss it. Or maybe what, you know, in movies, there's like a devil on the shoulder on one side, then an angel on the person's shoulder on the other side, and one telling him to do the bad thing, go rob the bank, and the other one, no, please don't. You know, we like to think the intuition is being, and I think it probably is,
you know, a truer sense of what's going on. It's just that by the time it gets to us, we've maybe reinterpreted it to mean something. So if your dog talks to you and tells you to, you know, harm somebody, or if at 3 a.m. you get this intuitive compulsion to go to the fridge and, you know, eat through everything in the house, that's probably not your intuition. You know, it's an inner voice, but that's the sense that, that I get of it, that it's one of our you know, inner voices, but it's generally a better, more constructive one that we should trust. Although I would, with that, I would say, make sure you know that that's the voice you're listening to and you're listening correctly, instead of misinterpreting.
That's a good point.
We'll go deeper
into kind of how we can know the difference between intuition and maybe outside influences or negative, you know, programming or feedback, or, you know, even psychic chatter that we might pick up on from someone else, for example. I wholeheartedly agree with you. There's an interesting thing in there too, that you talked about, that devil and angel on the shoulder. This is where sometimes intuition can be sort of conflated or even sometimes confused with morality or ethics, right? So there's this, you know, and that's an interesting thing too, like the right and wrong things to do. And they are related to intuition to some degree, but they're also, you know, part of, I think, our moral compass, let's call it, or even some, you know, social or, you know, cultural learnings that we picked up that seem like their intuition now, and they're at odds with each other. But they're definitely closely related, morality and conscience and intuition. Intuition, though, I would go, it would say that it goes a bit further than morality, or goes a bit further than, you know, the conscience, in a sense of it's almost like there's a precognition to it or something, a factor that's an unknown factor. And since it is unconscious, it is somewhat mysterious, and, you know, how it manifests as an image, or, you know, a sort of sensation in the pit of your stomach, or just a feeling, or a drive to do something or not do something, a hunch. These are all things I think of when I think of intuition. I'll give an example that I have found really interesting. So my mom and her friends grew up, obviously, during, well, not obviously, but they grew up during the 60s, early 60s. My mom's pretty young. You know, when she was a kid, they used to go down to these different lakes and, you know, up in the Seattle area. And there was a lot of places that kids would go. They would cruise and they would hang out at these kind of, not really beaches, but just these sort of areas on lakes that that kids would kind of congregate. You know, Green Lake was one such place, and Lake Sammamish, and, you know, and on the east side. And so this means nothing to anyone who's not from Seattle. But the point is that this was the time, by the way, when Ted Bundy was active. So he would, and I'm sure people have seen, you know, things on him. He was a serial killer who killed young women in the Seattle area and elsewhere. I think Florida as well, right? Florida and somewhere else. I'm not entirely sure. But the point is, I'm not one of these morbid followers of serial killers, so I don't know all the facts. But the point is that one of my mom's friends actually, and I'm 99.9% sure that this is a true thing, she actually at one point was at one of these lakes, and he used to kind of cruise around and, you know, hunt for victims at these kinds of things, was almost picked up by Ted Bundy. She was hitchhiking, as everyone did in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, he, you know, drove up and seemed like a perfectly nice guy. And she kind of, you know, needed a ride somewhere, and he offered to take her there and so on. And she, you know, she felt something in the pit of her stomach, didn't follow through with it. And then years later, when she saw, you know, when he was taken into custody and all this, she had remembered this event, you know, vividly. And this is a person who has a very good memory for faces and is a very intuitive person, and I trust it. So something told her not to get into this car. And I think this is the kind of thing, when we think about intuition, that, you know, it reminds us of these sort of feelings or sensations we get to do or not do something that, you know, that protect us in a way, right? So oftentimes, you know, we think of the intuition, you know, you hear Manly Hall had that great thing. We were talking about this before the show. he talks about intuition as being part of the coordinator within. It's like a function of the coordinator, you know, and that might be the higher self, or, you know, in Jungian terms, the self, the organizing principle within. In magic, that's called the holy guardian angel, the knowledge and conversation of the holy guardian angel. Mm-hmm. You know, so in Greece, that would be the daemon.
Well, and he calls this the mental coordinator.
The mental coordinator.
And the function, I'll just jump in really quick, but the function that he outlines that this mental coordinator does is it takes all your sensory input, you know, what you see and think and, you know, whatever's coming in. It also goes in through your memories and past experience that you have within you. So it kind of really is an intuition, even though it might be guided by universal and higher spiritual ideals and principles, that it comes through you because it needs to be a message for you. But that's what this mental coordinator does. It looks at all this stuff and weighs it. And because we can't really recall, especially in a very fast-paced situation, we can't really go back and remember banks and recall, what did I do in the past about this? That's what this mental coordinator does. That it's the overprocessor of all the memory banks and experiences and inputs and data that's coming in.
Yeah. Connections to the unknown as well, the collective unconscious, a higher form of knowing that we might call intuition, like we're talking about, and so on. It seems like it analyzes and is in touch with all those various parts of ourselves to make an informed decision that goes beyond rational thinking. So most of the time go ahead.
Oh, and then it sends you a message based on all evidence and analyzing, the larger parts of because we can't really recall everything, but there is the belief that everything, every word that was ever spoken to us, everything we'd ever seen or heard is somehow stored in there. Unless there's, physical damage or something.
Well, that would be the personal unconscious, right? Everything's in there.
Yeah, that is stored. And that's where this, coordinator can dip into all of
those. Well, then going, exactly.
And beyond, like you said.
Beyond that.
Even further.
Sure. Into the collective unconscious, or the what might be called the Akashic records, or into the ether, or some sort of informational source beyond personal,
something non-local, like
non-local. Sure.
They would say in quantum physics that
one
thing can have a direct effect on something else, even though they could be miles or light years apart and not really connected or communicating through any known means. That's what that non-local, you don't have to be next to it. So perhaps your mother getting this maybe it was even out of time.
my mom's friend actually, but
her friend, was, got that intuitive insight.
Yeah.
It wasn't just what's in front of you. It's
sure.
It's coming into your being. If you're being, involved in this situation where you need this intuitive insight.
Well, how often do we hear this story, or even we have these our own kind of examples of this in our own life? Like, something told me not to do that, but I did it anyway, and XYZ happened, some disastrous result, right?
And I should have trusted my intuition.
Something told me not to turn down that street. Something told me not to go up to that door. And it's like, that's where learning to tune into and trust our own, our own guidance system within, can really help us. By the way, I want to go back a couple of minutes and comment on how that dog that was just barking sounded a little bit different. Was that a different dog? Do we have a new dog in the mix, or was that just a different place and I'm getting a different sound vibe?
Yeah, it sounded like only one dog.
It sounded like one dog.
Yeah, maybe the other two dogs are out for a walk and that one was
could
getting
be
lonely.
I guess normally of the variety of voices, like there are
there's
course,
a range of
there's
dog
a range
noises.
Of dog, yeah. dog noises.
I'm you not fluent in dogs, so I don't know.
I'm not either, but I can discern their different voices. And I will say this, we have good company with the dogs barking in the background, because I was listening to some Ann Davies, the Reverend Ann Davies from BOTA, the Builders of the Aditum, which is an organization in Los Angeles that Paul Foster Case started. It's, she has some great lectures that are online. If you just look up BOTA Ann Davies, the BOTA group in New Zealand puts them up. But nearly every episode, there's a dog barking in the background. It's fantastic. All right. And she's doing that from their location over, they're in Los Angeles, and they're in, I can't remember exactly where they are.
Was it Highland Park, or they're on
Figueroa. It's in Highland Park area. Yeah, exactly. And I think even then it was kind of a rough neighborhood. And I think those dogs were guard dogs actually.
Yeah. Well, not a bad idea.
Now that area is awful. I think it's gentrifying a little bit, but
gentrifying quite a bit. Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah. Eagle Rock.
Cause they, Eagle Rock used to be a pretty rough neighborhood too, mm-hmm. actually back in the day.
Well, there's still parts I don't feel comfortable around, but I don't.
You really need your
intuition. I live near Pasadena. It's all chill here.
I was going to say you're off in the suburban wonderland over there, aren't you? So, you know. But anyway, speaking of intuition, you know, you really need your intuition if you're going to be roaming around out in some of these bad neighborhoods in LA. Keep your eyes open and your senses open. So, okay, so I completely got off track talking dogs and so on. Oh, speaking of though.
We conjured them back up again, so
I did. And that was important. Speaking of that, though, that does actually tie into what we're talking about. You know, animals, and we just did a show on animals and animal spirits and so on. Check that out if you haven't heard it. Are running, you know, nearly as far as we can tell, 100% on intuition and instinct. And, you know, oftentimes we'll see in our dreams dogs or animal figures and so on, and they do generally represent an instinctual, more intuitive side of ourselves. You know, when you look at some of the language that we use for how we and how animals intuit things and know things, you know, is really interesting, because we'll say, you know, a dog, for example, has a great sense of smell. You know, he sniffed out this or that thing, or, you know, and with ourselves, we'll say, I had a feeling in my gut, or my heart told me to do this or that. You know, it's interesting to see how intuition is a non-rational, difficult to explain sort of a faculty, but we do tend to describe it with bodily sensation most of the time, or with sort of feeling-oriented words.
Well, it's usually never located in the head.
And it's not located in the head, is it? You might say intuitive
insight, but that's more like a vision or something. But
yeah,
you don't have an intuitive, you know, thought or conclusion or, no. you know.
No
rational
exactly.
argument, an intuitive rational.
Well, it's a different faculty, isn't it?
It is. It comes from, well, there's the heart mind. I know Buddhists talk about, you know, the intelligence of the heart, not just the physical organ, but the spiritual heart. That And I think they're doing testing now that the heart is shown to put out like more electronic vibrations or more intensity, more powerful than the brain. It's actually detectable in some way as a sensory organ that does more than just pump the blood, that there is, it can secrete enzymes and hormones,
mm-hmm.
You know, that the body needs at the time. So there is intelligence in that. And you're right, in the gut. I had a gut feeling in the pit of my stomach. I can feel it in my bones. These are all not in the head.
No,
it's anywhere but, really. So we're kind of talking about a body knowing, but you're right, it's like animals. And I guess that's the difference, you know, like where instinct and intuition are distinguishable from intelligent or logical or reason or left brain kind of thought.
Yeah.
I would just say one's more in the head and the other one's probably a little more in the heart. But we need them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that really doesn't, we don't seem to consciously conjure it up. It's subconsciously conjured or unconsciously.
Exactly. Well, and it seems that the harder that we try to think about something or rationalize something, the more we shut off our intuition, which kind of leads us into the next thing I wanted to talk about, was like how do you get in touch with intuition? How do you develop it? How do you learn to trust it more and discern the different voices or different feelings or different kind of sensations that are coming to you that feel intuitive? So we can maybe get into that a little bit. I think one of the things that is a challenge for us in the society that we live in the West, particularly, you know, in the US and Canada and European countries and so on, we rely so heavily on rational thinking and we prize it so highly, you know, that our whole society basically revolves around that sort of typology in essence. You know, we favor it. Somebody, I'm speaking of typology, Jung's typology, and you know, this, you know, the intuition is one of the ways of, you know, navigating through the world. So there's, you know, in Jung's typology, you have thinking and feeling, you have sensation and intuition. Those are the four types of faculties that people work with. And, you know, we all possess those different ways of, you know, navigating through the world to a lesser or greater degree. This is what they get into in that Myers-Briggs testing and so on. So you can find out your typology through that. And I highly recommend that. I actually had that done recently and found out my typology, and it's actually pretty illuminating when you see it. You know, you have a kind of a sense of what you think you are, but then you take these tests and they do seem pretty darn accurate, I have to say. So at any rate, those are all different ways that we navigate through the world. So, you know, thinking is the rational way of kind of like navigating through the world with our minds and using logic and so on and reason. Feeling is more of a quality of valuing, and it is involved with emotion, but emotion and feeling are not exactly the same thing. But feeling is a nature of like, I like this, I don't like that, and trusting that and moving through. A lot of designers are, for example, artists are heavy in feeling. They're able to discern like, I love this color of blue, I hate this one. And, you know, people real strong sort of feeling sense of like and dislike of things. Sensation is kind of navigating through the world with, you know, touch and feeling and concreteness and doing and action. And that, I would say, you know, in the US and in the Western world, we're very oriented towards thinking and sensation, an extroverted way. And then intuition is the last one. And even Jung had trouble defining exactly what intuition was. And he's, you know, very intuitive type, as most really, you know, good counselors and, you know, visionaries are. So, you know, that intuition is kind of, you know, even as a function, as one of the four functions, it's difficult to define even in psychological terms. And they kind of just have to describe, well, it's a hunch or it's a way of feeling. Intuition in the Jungian sense is like the ability to sort of discern kind of what's going to happen down the line and to create visionary kind of ways of seeing the world. And, you know, you see the potentiality in things and, you know, vision. It's, you know, the classic sort of visionary entrepreneurs usually have a lot of intuition or highly developed intuitional function. You know, Steve Jobs and those kinds of people that kind of see the potentiality of something and really are able to, you know, take it to the next level and so on. So those are all forms of intuition. You really don't want to go on too long with this, but I just wanted to kind of introduce that in the scheme of typology, Jungian typology. But you know, it's a big part of that. So anyway, so discerning, let's get into discerning intuition, developing intuition. I'll let you talk about that a little bit if you've got something to say about that, and then we'll kind of explore that. Developing, maybe start with developing intuition, ways to do that you've come across or that you've experienced.
So yes, since intuition is a different way of knowing and thinking than using our logical mind brain part, one way to connect with our intuition is to just disconnect from the other, because you're right, you know, we're in this kind of world that really values that. You know, there's a lot of thinking. Mm-hmm. You look something up, you Google it, Wikipedia, you got to find the answer. And there's a lot of it's at our fingertips now. We can get to this, a lot of information. But it's not really, that's not what your intuition is.
No.
So I think just unplugging from, it's not like you have to run out and chase this intuition. Where are you? I'm going to track you down and find you. It kind of finds you. It's a little, it's like fishing. Wait for the fish. But if we can just disconnect from the other, like anything else, if you want to become more calm and more centered, try to disconnect from the chaos and the attachments and the distractions and those things, whether it's a physical retreat where you take your body somewhere else, or you can just go in your closet and do it, you know, in private or in your car, anywhere you can find in your mind, to shut off. And again, we talk about meditation, relaxation, clearing the mind, and get to this no thinking where you're sort of not trying to figure things out. I think that may be where it is. Like a lot of us today seem to, you know, in the world of self-help and everything, it's like you're just looking for the right answer. Well, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm going to wrap my head around this. And, you know, as soon as I get a handle on things, I'm trying to find out what was the cause of this. Where did this come from? You know, it's a lot of this investigation, a lot of thinking. You know, we're not, you know, but even if you are solving a mystery or something, you know, you still need your intuition. So I would, first of all, say just maybe stop the seeking and trying to figure and cipher and use your brain power that way. Pull back from it. Maybe even visualize in your meditation, you know, a brain, like a, you know, physiological brain being centered around your chest area, that it's, you know, that there is, it's thinking and sensing and it's processing, and but it's not in your head. You know, and I think that's, you know, again, meditation, you know, breathing, you know, quietude. There's even apps on the new smartwatches that, you know, you push a button and it has a little breathing thing and it tells you when to breathe and when not to breathe, and it'll check your heart rate. It's a real biofeedback
Kind
of thing that you can wear now. And I think that can, because it's, if you're focusing on the little lotus blossom that's opening up when you're supposed to inhale and it closes back when you exhale, and it buzzes your wrist a little bit with the haptic sensor thing, because you can do it with your eyes closed, you know, there's a sensory feel thing. You know, if you're really focusing on that, you're really not focusing on all the other stuff. So even something like that, a very positive type of distraction that gets you centered, maybe gets the heart rate down, a little relaxation, a little turning away from the trying to solve and figure. Know that the answer will come, but it may come from a different place.
And, yeah, exactly.
And you know, maybe it's even deeper within. Maybe it really is coming from you. But it's not from you trying to dig around in your brain and try to, you know, because so many times we've heard this, when if you're trying to solve a problem, whether it's figuring out your invention or, you know, what to take your character in Act Two with your writing project, and you just can't solve it, you know, step away from the computer, go for a walk, and then when you go back and you take a shower, that's, you know, and the soap gets in your eyes and you're rinsing it out. You're going, oh my God, this stings. And it's like, oh, that's it. That's what I need to do for my perpetual motion machine. And I have to, you know, put soap in the bearings and it'll help, you know, or something, you know what I mean? There's, you'll get it. But it's when you're, a lot of times you really get it, or you get that answer when you're doing something else that you, and you absolutely are not thinking about the problem. You're the furthest thing from it.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't, well, just as a caveat, well, it doesn't mean you just sit back and take showers and go for walks and all the answers are going to come.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
still have to work. You're feeding the machine. And that's where, in this lecture with me, and Hal talks about faculties of intuition. You're kind of laying out what it is.
Could you say
want.
That again? What is it called? Training your faculties of intuition?
Oh, yeah.
I think you might have cut out for a second.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we talk about Manly Hall, Manly Palmer Hall, and his lectures, we draw a lot from, because he has just such a great way of putting things. He has one on intuition. I think it's on YouTube.
called Training the Faculty of Intuition.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Your faculty of intuition. And it's so it's training you, but you're also feeding this intuitive sense, you know, what it is you want. You know, if you're feeding a lot of negative things, then maybe you'll get an intuitive insight to, you know, do something stupid.
Yeah.
Or it'll appear that way.
Sure. And that's not coming from the higher self or the intuition at that point. And that's one of those things we have to remember, is to, you do have to use your rational mind to sort of evaluate what your intuition is telling you to do. You know, you can't just be purely, you know, running on intuition unless you're some sort of an adept or, you know, and some sort of avatar that's, you know, completely connected to God consciousness, then you're not going to make any mistakes. But, you know, for those of us who are, you know, living a normal human existence, we definitely have to use the rationality to evaluate those intuitions, right?
Well, yeah, if it sounds too good to be true, it might not be true. If you might have an intuition on it, somebody's trying to scam you with something. But there's also, you have to look, you're right, you have to look at what's in front of you. And then you can use your rational mind to say, wait a minute, does this make sense?
Yeah.
Does this really fly?
And it's, if it's destructive and your intuition is telling you something that goes contrary to, you know, your own ethical understanding of life or spiritual judgment and so on, if it's telling you to do something destructive or to hurt someone else or to hurt yourself or, you know, to do something in the realm of something that you feel is not constructive, not positive, not loving, that is probably not intuition. And I think that, you know, I shouldn't say probably not. It's not, you know, let's be definite about it. Your higher self is not going to tell you to do things that are destructive to yourself or other people.
Yes.
So if you're getting those messages.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you're getting those messages, then you can disregard them and, you know those are not your higher intuition telling you what to do. Right.
Right. The only thing that your actual true benevolent intuitive insight might pose a threat to, might be some of your crystallized fears or ideas about yourself that are all in your conscious mind. You might get an intuition or intuitive thing to do something that might be a little out of character, although it may actually be the right thing that you need. Or intuition might say,
no, that makes sense.
Hey, you exactly. know, why don't you order the salad at lunch today instead of the, you know, instead of the burger? And, you know, we can listen to it or not, you know, at that point. But yeah, it the message itself shouldn't be threatening, although it may rub up against, if it is really coming from a higher source, it may rub up against our lower ideas of ourselves and lower vibrating things. And that's a good thing because I think even then the rational mind will go, yeah, you know what, that intuition is probably right. Or
that's a good point.
And then you can make a choice. And choose not to. You can certainly choose not to follow the intuition. But I think if we're getting on track with this and having a desire to tune in a little more to that, that's where some of this trust will come in.
Sure.
And then as we try it and maybe try a little more, then we will grow to rely more on it. And it'll become eventually, I would think, like a friend or some, you know, someone you can call
exactly.
up. Someone that's kind of always there and say, you know what, I need a little help with this, a little insight.
Sure. And I think that's where, you know, developing your overall character and your overall sort of spiritual self comes into play, because intuition will naturally unfold properly if you're in balance. You know, if you're honest with yourself about who you are and what you're about, if you know, your diet is good and you're eating, you know, wholesome foods and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to use the best possible methodology for, you know, feeding the body, mind and soul, the right kinds of stuff. And, you know, you're doing your meditation and relaxation, you're honest with other people and congruent in your behaviors and thoughts. You're feeding your mind positive, you know, messages and through listening to shows that are positive, you know, reading books, etc. all these things will help develop, you know, your intuition naturally. You can also do meditation, as you talked about earlier, on the heart, also on the third eye, which seems like it's part of the mind in a way, or it seems like it's part of that rational thing because it is, you know, in the head, but it really does go beyond it. So you're meditating on that point between the eyes, that higher portion of the mind, and that is connected to that intuitive part that's within you, and it goes beyond the rational thinking and so on if you concentrate on that. So those are a couple of things you can do. Another thing you can do to kind of get away from rational thinking is to work with symbols. So of course, if you look at your dream symbols, you know, write down your dreams, pay attention to what's going on in your dream life. That's a big way to get intuitive sort of understanding of certain events in your life, and you'll see how those things unfold. Also to use tarot cards and the symbolism in tarot cards, particularly the card number 5, the Hierophant, or he's known as the Pope in some decks. That card that's associated with the Hebrew letter Vav or Vo, which has the meaning of nail. That's kind of the symbolic meaning of that. Or in Hebrew, it also means and. So it's this sort of connecting sort of an idea. It connects ideas together. There's a sort of intuitional quality to it. And the symbolism in that particular card helps develop intuition. So you can meditate on that card just by kind of looking at it and working with the images in that card. Also the High Priestess card number 2. Which is connected to the moon and connected to the subconscious, is another card that really helps the... There he is. Yes,
yeah, the dogs have returned.
That's the barking that I'm used to. That's the barking I'm used to, is that one. So working with those tarot cards is really helpful. Another thing that's kind of cool is a shaman tool that I learned many years ago is you go out into the woods or a park or the desert, somewhere where you can kind of be alone, find yourself a decent sized little rock, something you can pick up fairly easily, grab that rock, pick it up, go find a nice quiet place to sit and really just kind of stare at one side of it for as long as you care to. And you'll start to see and feel something coming from that rock, images and so on, whatever, a feeling. And you know, a deep intuitional gut feeling, something like that, after a certain amount of time, or maybe your mind will wander and some images will come in, so on. For some reason, the rock is a really valuable tool to use. I think it's because it's, you know, ancient, but also it's, you know, connected to the earth. It's part of that sort of pre-thinking part of ourselves that gets us in touch with maybe a more natural sort of intuitional and instinctual part of ourselves. There's something solid about holding on to a rock. You know, just I've used that tool. And if you have a little notebook with you or something, you can write down some of the feelings or thoughts that come up as you're doing that. And then, you know, you can look at that later on. That's a good tool to use. So those are all ways that you can help to develop the intuition. But I think it's important to remember, like what you said, it's something that naturally comes up if you sort of just get out of the way of it. You know, use your rational mind to do the work that you can do, make your lists, do your research, think about things. You know, this is when you're looking for an intuitional guidance into making a choice, for example. You know, do all the stuff that you can do. Don't try to just, you know, run completely on intuition. But do the work that you can do. And then at some point when you kind of get up against that wall, let it go. Take a nap, take a walk. You know, look at some great art, listen to some music, you know, get out of the thinking modality and then see what bubbles up, take a nap, you know, meditate and so on. These are all things you can do in sort of contrast to the thinking function. Let the thinking go and allow that stuff to bubble up. You know, and people say, oh, it just kind of bubbled up from somewhere, or I just had this flash of inspiration or intuition or this, all the words that we use do help to describe what we're trying to do. And it's never, like you said, I thought my way into it. And then, you know, I thought and had this intuition and I discovered this intuition while I was Googling something, or, you know, I mean, maybe something will pop up while you're doing work, but But the point is that intuition is not a direct result of rationalization most of the time. It's a sort of indirect response to the work that you've done thinking wise, and then something else comes in to give you the next level of understanding. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I do. And those are generally the two things, you know, we rely on our intuition for, and that's what to do next and how to go about it. Because, you know, really, if you're living in the present moment, that's all you need to know anyway.
Yeah, yeah,
true. About anything. Sometimes I like to think of the intuition, you know, as that inner advisor or this mental coordinator like you're talking about, that it's another part of you. But it's almost like somebody I can pass things off to. That, okay, I've done all this work. I can't figure it. I can't. Remember from The Sound of Music, there was that song, "How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria?" Well, sometimes, you know, you don't, but you have to just turn it over.
That is a West Side Story, my friend.
Oh.
You said The Sound of Music.
Oh.
Right? Isn't that West Side Story? How do you solve a problem like Maria? Maria was the girl in West Side Story, right? Or am I thinking of something different?
I think we're talking, they may be both be Maria.
The Sound of Music, the one where they're running around in the Alps?
Yeah, well, she was an escaped nun or
fallen nun. Okay, so I don't mean to call you out, but I'm just, I was thinking that, because I could be completely wrong, but I was singing that song.
I think it may be a tale of two Marias.
Do we have two Marias involved here? All right, well,
Los Dos Marias.
Dos Marias. So anyway, after this, we'll have to coordinate our facts. But
yeah, my mental coordinator is not solving this problem right now. So.
This problem, like Maria, is it?
But neither you can't. Is mine. Some problems can't be solved. So I like to think of this intuitive advisor as like, okay, I've done all this work. Like I'm part of the chain in the office, and then I've done all this, and then I can just send that to this. Okay, you take it to the next step.
Yeah, exactly.
And turn it over.
That's a great way to put it. And, you know, it is something that the rational mind is not really capable of handling oftentimes. Because if it was, I mean, then it wouldn't, you know, these problems that we have wouldn't need intuitional guidance, would they? I mean, we'd just go, okay, here's the facts, X, Y, Z, and A, B, C are the facts, and here's the best decision that I need to make. So obviously we're caught on the horns of a dilemma, as they say, if we're going to intuition, you know, in terms of trying to figure things out. But also, you know, like we were talking about, we're also one of the real key uses of intuition is in those situations that come up spontaneously, like that situation where my mom's friend had this feeling that she shouldn't get into that car. You know, it's protecting us from something, or it's steering us in the right direction. You hear these stories about people that talk about, well, I was going to take that flight, and, you know, at the last minute I decided to change my flight, and then it turns out that airplane tragically went down or something. And, you know, those are the kinds of things where, you know, intuition often saves us from disaster.
Well, but it does have that premonition quality.
It's
foresight kind of before we act. Now, yes, getting a premonition about a plane flight, that's, you know, I guess also an intuitive thing. But even if it's just the immediate thing, what to do next,
while
you're in the moment. And a lot of times that's when intuition and some of these other faculties are most available to us, is in either a crisis or a potentially dangerous or unknown situation, because there isn't enough to go on. You don't have enough information in your rational mind. I think since we're at a loss there, I think we're a little more open just naturally to intuitive insight. I've talked to people that have heard voices in an accident, you know, turn the wheel to the right when, you know, you probably shouldn't, your conscious mind would have thought it else differently.
Sure.
But that ended up being the right thing to do. And how did I know to do that? And you're in the moment, you have to kind of trust it.
Exactly.
And I think we do, but it would be nice to be increasing this relationship with our intuition without having to rely on, you know, emergency situations or anything. It's more of an emergence. Yeah. You know, we're allowing this to come forth.
Yeah. And Manly Hall talked about how faith is a factor in intuition. In other words, like just a, a faith in something unseen, the universe or God or, you know, your higher self or whatever you want to call it, but just having that basic faith in that power, you know, helps to create more of a connection to that power, so that, you know, you can, and, you know, prayer and affirmation and, like we said, meditation and so on all play into having that greater trust in that power where that intuition comes from, you know, and connects you to it to a greater degree. So that's where developing our spiritual life through yoga, meditation, prayer, study, whatever work, you know, artistic work, dance, I mean, whatever goes into music, whatever goes into spirituality for you, rituals, et cetera, mythology, your joy, your bliss, all of that. Yeah. Following all those things and cultivating all those things in your life will give you a greater sense of trust and faith in the universe, in God, in the good orderly direction of life, and help you to get in touch with that intuition. So, you know, it's important for us to do that, especially these days when, you know, we live in a time when, you know, a lot of things are changing. Obviously, we have a lot of challenges, you know, between the sexes and with the idea of masculine and feminine energies, and, you know, with the patriarchal structure that people are fighting against. And, you know, we're trying to develop more feminine qualities in general and bring in, you know, more intuitional qualities and so on. Oftentimes, you know, both of us as men and women will, you know, get locked into this old way of doing things, thinking that, you know, So using, you know, force and rationalization and logic and science to make, you know, and sort of more quote unquote masculine traits. And I say this, you know, in a sort of a symbolic sense, to figure things out tends to be the way things are done. And even as, you know, obviously women are becoming more increasingly involved in the corporate world and in business and in politics and so on, oftentimes they're using those same sort of masculine qualities and logical and scientific and sort of hard driving ways of doing things to kind of navigate through those worlds, which are sometimes necessary. But then what gets lost, and you hear a lot of women speaking about this, is they lose touch with the femininity, the natural power of the femininity within themselves as they do that. And that's the thing we need more of in those patriarchal structures, is not a woman who's, you know, going in there and quote unquote, you know, doing things the way a man would, you know, something like this in the old traditional sense of that, the sort of 50s mentality of that. But we need a more enlightened, balanced view that brings in, you know, those more feminine, intuitive, sort of nurturing, communicative styles that, you know, are more traditionally known as feminine. Do you know what I mean? And that's where intuition comes from. It comes from the mother intuition. It comes from the great mother. It doesn't come from the father or from the sort of, you know, sky god realm or something like that. It comes from the earth and the more sort of nurturing, sea-oriented, you know, Mother Mary type energy. You know, Isis and these kinds of figures are involved with that kind of energy. And that's where intuition comes from, you know, and that's in men as well as women. Both of us have it. So, you know, that's something to think about. It's something to think about. It's an aside, but it's definitely something to think about, because, you know, sometimes in the technological sort of consumerist commercial world that we live in, we get dominated by these sort of thinking-oriented, hard-driving, fact-oriented ways of looking at things, and we lose touch with ourselves, our true selves, our more intuitive and instinctual selves. So, something to think about, right?
Well, yeah, I would say that, you know, both are true. Our true self, you know, is our intuitive self. Our intuitive self is part of our true self. I think they really go hand in hand, because otherwise we're selling ourselves short with just the five senses and just what we can know and think and touch and experiment. That there,
exactly,
there's a whole other realm of consciousness that is available to us. It's working all the time, whether we know it or acknowledge it or not. And yes, and it's, again, to reiterate, making that distinction. If it sounds like a bad idea, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not a true intuitive insight, maybe just a self-interest that, you know, comes across as masquerading, sure, as an intuition.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, our intuition will actually help us with that, too. The more we can, you know, we know on some level. And we know when we're fooling ourselves. A lot of the times we want to fool ourselves or deny what we should be doing and do what we want to do. That's part of our nature, too. And exactly, knowing that, I think we can navigate this world, you know, of the inner life and intuition. You know,
you make a good point with that. And one thing, too, that you can do is, you know, if you have an intuition about something that seems a little suspect, you can say a little prayer to yourself. Ask yourself, you know, is this in alignment with my highest and best good for, you know, and in alignment with the highest and best good for myself and others, something like this, and really, you know, kind of pray on that or meditate on that and see what comes up. And, you know, maybe an intuition regarding the intuition will occur because you take it out of the personal and put it into the more, you know, transpersonal level of looking at things, you know, the holistic way of looking at things. So those are some ideas about intuition. I hope you find them helpful. I thank you for joining us. I'm going to wrap it up now. We're getting close to an hour, unless you have something else to add, Chris.
No, I think that's about it. And
all right.
You know, just learn to trust and move in that. I think we know more than we know that we know.
I think we know more than we know that we know. I think there's a song in that.
There could be.
you may want to write that. An intuitional little ditty. I think we know more than
we
know.
Let me put it to music.
Put it to music, man.
Yeah, all right.
That's it. But there you go. There's intuition for you. So thank you for joining us today and every week on the Cosmic Eye Show. Please, like I said, support us if you can, anchor.fm/cosmiceye, or talk about us on social media. You know, share us if you like what we're doing here. We appreciate you listening, and we hope that you get something good out of the show each week. We will be here every Monday. We have a new show. We're also going to start doing some midweek stuff. I talked about this past. We didn't quite get the traction on it, but we're going to be starting to do some new and interesting kind of midweek shows as well. So listen for those. Check us out at cosmiceye.org or at chrissheridan.com, and do purchase our books if you get a chance. If you can, Where You Can Meditate is my book, and Chris's is The Spirit in the Sky. Thank you again for joining us. Have a great week. Goodbye and God bless.